Over in Genesis, in the third chapter, in the 22nd verse, I brought this to your mind the other night, and the Lord God said, "Behold, now man has become as one of us, to know good and evil, lest he put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life," and then it stops. Now, lest he put forth his hand, partake of the tree of life. I want to just comment on that a little more because I'd started saying something about it. You know, when you talk about knowledge, you really get on people's toes. And it really upsets them, and they don't care to hear about it. But you know, we preach it anyway, because we're here to preach what God wants us to preach and not what you want us to preach as individuals. And I don't mean that toward Christian people, even though I know that Christian people sometimes are in the same condition, in that some of them really don't understand, and they take up sides with the wrong side until they get their eyes open, especially babes get caught in the trap. But see, Satan, he hates this subject. He doesn't want us to talk about this subject. And in the world of today, the ministry goes every way but to this subject. And the reason they do that is because everybody is caught within this entanglement of knowledge. And everybody majors on minors, which is diplomacies. The ideal thing today is to put your kid through school or get that child through school. And if you don't have the idea, the Satan will see that you get it with the bags and gun. So then everything is a forced issue to force you into the flames of the fire and to program you with the natural mind of the beast and of the world to where there's no chance of Satan losing that body and being driven out into the tormenting places. Because if he can't put the intellectual within you and the love of the world within you, then he will have to leave that body. And if he has to leave that body, he is automatically in the wrath of God and in torment. But he hath a chance to get out of the tormenting places and out of the wrath of God by getting into your body, because of your ignorance of not knowing and never having come to the knowledge of the truth, and are only approaching that as now in this age. You have in the past had the opportunity of the blood being on the seat of atonement in your behalf, that mercy is given unto you with the blood on the seat of atonement until the day that you come to the knowledge of the truth. Once you come to the knowledge of the truth, then there's no more sacrifice for sin. If you don't repent and go to the right thing then, you're automatically in the wrath of God. And that spirit of unbelief being there, the wrath of God abides upon you. But the devil knows that as long as that blood's on the seat of atonement and he can keep you ignorant and he can stay in that body, then he can get the blessings from that blood atonement through your body. Whereas he cannot get that blessing outside of you, because to get into the presence of God or the great light, he's automatically eradicated or destroyed. That great light will destroy him. As with the brightness of the coming of the great light, it destroys him because he is the spirit of darkness, which means intellectual. And as I said, gross darkness covering the people, it is not like the darkness that you think of as to the night, but it means intellectual understanding and educational systems of learning institutions, and that this would swallow the people up. So you can see by that the gross darkness has already taken them, and it's getting more dense all the time because they're pressing the issue more, and they're making it where you can't even get a job unless you fit their diplomacies, unless you fit their system. And they're pinning it on down to where even if you do get your diplomacy, if you don't follow through with their system and you get a little bit off base, then you don't fit the computer, and they give you a number. And if you don't fit that number in the computer as to keep stride with that, then you lose your credit, and your credit rating is gone, and you still don't do anything. And all of it is adding up to one thing. And that is, through the society of this life, it's adding up to you coming under the mark of the beast and under the control and auspices of Satan, or under the computerized system. And everything is coming under the computer. Even the bread that you eat, even the cereal that you eat, everything that's in the store, as to those goods that you purchase, anything in any kind of store, dry goods or otherwise, it's all coming under a number. And we said a number of years ago that this would happen, and the way that it would come about through the Social Security number. I said the Social Security number seems to be a little simple thing that just required for you to have to get a job. I said, but after a while, everything will resort to the Social Security number, and that is to the license that you get for the automobile, the license that you get for the license plate, and everything else that you get, whatever it might be. Even today, the dog tag, as they call it, that belongs to the soldier on the little piece he usually wears on his arm, used to be his number, now it's gone to his Social Security number. I said it'll go through that, it'll be a society. And it'll come up through the Social Security number as the society of the earth. And sure enough, it's done it through the years. It's done exactly that. It's hit its target perfectly. So then that means that everything is well set in order. Then today I spoke to you about the 1, 2, 3 of the Jew, of the Protestant, of the Catholic, how we predicted they would come together, and that would also be another thing that would have to fit together for the end time. And then, of course, we know that the waters are rippled right now to the extent that Mr. Carter's just been over to Korea. And I understand whether true or false that Mr. Carter said something about the sanction being over, and that Mr. Clinton was upset, saying, who is Mr. Carter, that he goes over and tells him such a thing, that he's the president, that he'll say what, and that it's still on. And they say that if he does pull this, then if China comes in with him, they'll attack China. They'll attack South Korea. They not only will do that, but they'll attack Japan. And they will attack, said, we will attack America. So this will be counted as war if you do it. They say we will consider this an act of war. They told Mr. Carter, I understand that they told Mr. Carter when he left that there wouldn't be no difference. It was just like it was before he come. Though they'd received him, that they would not allow the Americans to come in there and examine their weapons. Which of GOAS is a violation of the United Nations Pact? But it doesn't matter anymore. Daniel said they'll make a covenant, but it won't stand. And then I said today that Israel will make a covenant with death. And I said when they made that covenant with the papacy, it's a covenant of death. So then everything is falling in place according to the prophetical utterance of Daniel as to the last days. And everything is turned into sodomy as the Bible spoke of it being in the last days. Leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, man with man, working that which is unseemly, receiving within themselves a recompense and reward for their error. So all that's fallen into place. Then it said earthquakes in divers places. Be a great increase of earthquakes, and to be all kind of devastation. Be signs in the stars and in the moons, and all these things has happened. See, and it's continually happening. It's not like it has happened, it won't happen anymore. It's still happening. So all these things are falling in place. Then he said, when you see all these things come to pass, know that it's nigh even at the door. So we know then it's right on us. And the church ages seem to be over, for it said the mysteries of God will be finished at the sounding of the last trumpet. And those things have to come to an ultimatum before the church can get the faith as to be raptured out of this world. And we see that already coming to a close. And we could go on and go on as to the beginning of sorrows, the Bible said, and we see this with the little ones being stolen away, little ones ravished, throats being split, all these horrible things, and drunkards and mothers beating little children. Just a horrible nightmare, everything wrecks, pulling people out, torn all to pieces and crushed, and just it's a horrible nightmare, and sickness and being cut to pieces by physicians and mutilated and whatever. It's the beginning of sorrows. Oppression all the time. Oppression all the time. Can't make enough money. RS is right on your back. And already they've decided now that they are going to put in suits against the churches where people have paid tithes to the churches. If they've not paid the IRS, then they put in a suit against the churches through the people and make the church pay their taxes. Where somebody says, oh, this could never be. But they did do it. They come down on some people, and the church had to take care of it, and they lost the battle in court. So it can be. And so you can see the whole aggression is against the church and against everything that God stands for. And there's no such thing as a Constitution of the United States anymore as to separation of church and state. It's been thoroughly violated. And this man that is slapped out of his human reasoning has been in office for one thing, and the devil has raised him up, like we said that Satan would, and put him in office, and that he would do this and attack everything that's decent and everything that's upright, and that his aggression would continue to be against the church. Whereas he's done this in trying to close the private schools down. He's done this in turning the sodomites loose and giving them freedom. He has done this in every capacity of operation that I know of, even to this thing that's coming on now about the church and the taxes. They don't sue anybody as to the industries or any place where you go to buy all these things of foolishness, where you spend thousands and people spend millions of dollars just buying a lot of garbage and things that don't amount to a hill of beans, but they don't sue them and get the money from them and make them pay the taxes. But it's that money that's going to God or to feed the hungry or to do something for Christ, and that bunch of ecclesiastical devils come down on the people. Somebody says, Brother Pike, don't talk like that. I just love to do it. The Bible said, tell it like it is. Jesus said, I've chose 12, one of you is a devil. So then that's what they're doing, and they're coming down on the church, and they want to kill you and slaughter you, and you're just a little flock, and they know that, and they want to kill out that royal seed so Christ can't come. Satan don't want that Christ to come. That's why I exhort you to do something about the learning and understanding of the Bible, to get the mind of God, because the devil works through the college. He works through the school, and sin gets its strength by the law. As to the law getting its strength through this pressure of what we call the law and order of today. See, and in that it does, then that means the aggression is against you, and everything that they're doing is against you. And they holler, no separation of church and state. They can do what they want to with you. But just as quick as you go to use anything that they got in the state, they'll holler, separation of church and state. You can't do that. I know that's been put to the test recently, and that's the way they did it. So then everything is against you, and there ain't but one thing that we can do, and that is draw nigh to God, be filled with the Spirit, come together as a people, because it's not like that you belong to a tribe or a race, or I belong to a tribe or a race, or that you belong to a certain sect of people, whether rich or poor or educated or unlearned. It's like you are cut off completely from all of them, and you belong to God and God alone, and it doesn't matter what the race or tribe is. You are brothers and sisters, and if you aren't given to that, then you belong to that that's in the world, and you belong to the races and the tribe and all the turmoil and all the confusion, and don't have any lot nor part in this matter, and your heart is not right with God, and you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. So then we know that you're in bondage as a bondschild of the beggarly elements of the world. So when we run across these few little things here, we can see that everything is shaping up, and we could say many, many more things concerning the end of time and what is taking place. In the meanwhile, where is the hunger? Where is the thirst? Someone would say, what do you mean by hunger and thirst? I mean you have enough hunger and thirst that you force that child into school. And one thing is because you don't want to go to prison. You have enough hunger and thirst to do that, and not enough hunger and thirst to try to take care of your own private school year, where we're trying to teach them a curriculum that will bring them into the things of God. And you let it go and don't even send your children to school properly, nor try to provide for them, and complain about every little pressure. See, and you don't have enough hunger and thirst for the things of God, or come to church to really learn or give your time to the study or understanding or learning of the Word of God, but you have a thrust for education and to see that your child gets a diplomacy so that they can make it out there in the world, knowing that the Bible emphatically states all of the labor is for the belly, because the belly craves it of them, and that that is the old serpent that savors the things that be of the flesh, for God has put the serpent on his belly, that all of his labor before his mouth and his belly, that his belly would crave it of him, and that he would eat the dust of the earth, which goes back to that you grow right out of the ground. So it's evident that we are perverted and going the wrong way as a people unless we find Christ in the right way and follow after the Word of God. And this is why the Bible said, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. Not some of your ways, but all of your ways. Acknowledge God in all of your ways. Someone would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I have to acknowledge God when I go to bed? Acknowledge God when I get up? Acknowledge God when I go to work? Acknowledge God when I go to eat a meal? Acknowledge God when I go in to bathe my body, to comb my hair? To acknowledge God, it means to acknowledge God in all of your ways. When you comb your hair, let it be not to pompadour the hair or make it look good or think about how nice you're going to look, whether it's the woman or the man. As to the beauty parlors, what you're doing so you can catch the eyes of a woman or the eyes of a man. And when you adorn your body, let not it be the outward adorning of the wearing of gold and apparel and all these chains around your neck and bracelets and ring and all this other kind of stuff so that you can catch the eyes of the opposite sex. And let it be that when the women walk that they don't use the high heels and the things of the world. As to the clicks of the feet, when the Bible said they mince with their feet as they go and they make the noise of the men with the little taps on their boots as they go. All of this is this thing of the flesh, every bit of it. And all the things that you do is your ways. All of your conversation is your ways. All that you look at is your ways. All that you hear is your ways. All that you eat, all that you drink, everything that you are, that's your ways. And the Bible said, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and let Him direct your path. And the way you do that is to acknowledge the Word. What does the Word say about me sleeping? And what does the Word say about me eating? And what does the Word say about me dressing? And what does the Word say about me working? And what does the Word say about me in general? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, surely to God, the Word don't say anything about all those things. It not only tells you about these things, but it enumerates them. And in every one, even those that I named, there is scripture for everything that I said that'll tell you exactly the way to eat and the way to sleep and what you must do and where you must go and what you must be and what you must look like and the way you must dress and all of these things. So then in acknowledging the Lord in all of our ways, we find out that what we're doing, that we're surrendering our mind to the mind of Christ, that the mind of Christ may take over our body, transformate our mind from the old beast mind of that first birth of Adam and eradicate the infiltration or the filth of the flesh and replace that with His mind, that our body is strictly under the command of the Word of God or the mind of God or the thoughts of God until this body is no more under the command of that spirit of the beast as to that spirit that you're born with that's lusteth under envy or that spirit within you that is not of God. And so then all of that's eradicated and you die. It kills you. It does the way with you in the conception of that great wonderful seed of God as to the Spirit of God. It is the great wonderful germ of life that kills the germ of death which is on the inside of you, that first birth. It's dead by the spirit of the second birth. And when that wonderful seedling comes on the inside, it starts developing like the child in the womb and it starts transforming your mind and it doesn't stop till every thought is gone and every thought is brought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ until God completely possesses that body and subdues that body and develops that body until every step is ordered of the Lord. The Bible said, and the steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. To acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and He will direct your path. And so then when you do that, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to His purpose. So we see then we're back to the place of coming into the understanding of God. Lay aside the ambition for the learning of the world. You don't have time to do that. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, we must do this. This we must do. And then when we do these things to make our living, then we will follow God. Why should you do that when the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Tell me, how much education did it take for you to become a human being? How much education and tree of knowledge and diplomacy did it take for Adam and Eve to come to be and to be human beings and to come into existence? How much did it take for them to have the beautiful trees and the garden and the wonderful atmosphere of God and the glory of God? And how much education did it take when God brought 3 million people out of Egypt and made them leave the science, falsely so-called, from where this thing originates called science, and got them out of that place down there and didn't work any notices to their boss, the employees, or didn't tell anybody they was taking leave. He just picked them up and 3 million people went out, and God turned Egypt into an ash heap, and he didn't ask permission of anybody. He just sent word down there and he said, Pharaoh, let my people go. And when he didn't do it and leaned to his own intellectual, then God killed his firstborn. God smote the people of Egypt, and God turned Egypt into an ash heap and said, get out of here and take your children and wife with you and take your substance with you. And they went off into the wilderness, and there God took a stick and took one man and built a great commonwealth in the wilderness that even scientists of today cannot account for. They don't know how in the name of reasoning that they did it, and they don't know how the people survived, because not even one of them had swelled up feet during the whole journey of the 3 million people for 40 long years, and none of them went hungry, and the clothing that they had never did wax old, and scientists has not been able to figure that out. There was no industries to survive by. There were no institutions of learning to learn by, but nevertheless, God was with them, and they were of a great, mighty understanding, and they were powerful in war, and as the Bible said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against thee in judgment I will condemn. So he said, come out from among her. Come out from among them and be a separate people. Don't touch those things. They're unclean. Come out from among them and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. So someone would say, but Brother Pike, we must have time to do this. If that's true and you have time to do that, then pray tell me one thing. How are you going to cast down imagination? Isn't that what they teach in school? Imagination and theory. And how are you going to cast down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God? And how are you going to bring into captivity every thought that you keep using for intellectual learning until it comes into obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ? How are you going to walk with God every step and acknowledge the Word in all of your ways to the extent that every thought must become the Word, and at the same time trying to mix darkness with that light as to your intellectual zeal to get what you want? Tell me how you're going to do that. Somebody would say, well, then do you expect us to be a bunch of morons? I don't expect you to be a bunch of morons. That's why I'm telling you to get out of moron school. Somebody says, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm saying that all them people are turning into sodomites. They're turning into fornicators. They're turning into liars. They're turning into adulterers. They're turning into cheats. They can't even live with one wife. They can't get enough. They're gullible dogs that never get enough. Somebody say amen. Why don't the IRS get enough? Why don't the government leave us alone? Why can't we have our little bit and go on and feed a soul? All right, so then we are saying that we have a school here to teach them the right thing about God. And if there's anything as to the involvement of academics as to what might be needful just for that in life to prepare you in a sense of moderation to make a common down-to-earth living, then we got it. That's what it's for. And more fixed to give you more understanding in these things than they are in the colleges. And that is teach you the Word of God first and seek the kingdom first and give you eternal life so that you might always enjoy the wonderful things of God. I would above all things that ye prosper and be in health even as your soul prosper. My blessing will make you rich, not education. And I will make you rich and add no sorrow. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth, not a college degree. I hold the king's heart in my hand, and I turn it whithersoever I will like the rivers of water. I own all the gold and the silver, which means the billionaire is worth anything. He's just got a lot of paper unless he's got my gold and silver and jewels and powers of the riches that I made to back it up. Otherwise, he's just got a lot of paper with ink on it. So I'm the one that holds the king's heart in my hand. I raise up a king. I put down one. I raise up one. I put down another. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. Can evil come to a city and I have not sent it, saith the Lord? If war breaks out over here, didn't I send it? If an epidemic breaks out over here, didn't I send it? If the storm clouds come and the cyclone sweep through the earth, didn't I send it? If somebody had the crash on the highway and the wreck, didn't I send it? If the plagues of aid come and all these other things, didn't I send it? I, the Lord, do all of these things. And he said, I have my way in all things. So then, who is the boss? Who's doing all these things? What does the tree of knowledge have to do with it? What does the educational system have to do with it? Someone would say, well, tell me, Brother Pike, if God creates the good and the evil, and God sends the evil as well as the good, then tell me then, how do you blame education? I blame education because that's why he sent the evil. You won't leave it alone. You leave the stuff alone and keep out of iniquity and keep iniquity away from you, there wouldn't be no sending of the judgment. But when you lean to your own understanding and go after the filth of the world and the ball games and all the foolishness of the world, knowing that pleasure is the things of the flesh, that Satan savors the things that be of the flesh to get into your body to frolic and use it for his own benefit, and you put God out of it and there's no perfecting of holiness in it, then that means that's where the problem is. Thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. So then that means that's a whole different thing altogether. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, what must I do? Must I not chew anymore, dip anymore, not watch television anymore, not read the papers anymore, not go to the ball games anymore? It doesn't have anything to do with it at all. God didn't say, come up here and lay it on the altar and say, I promise you I won't, and I promise you I won't, and I promise you I won't. And I promise you that this and that I will, and this that I will, and this that I will. He said to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you at Calvary, and the faith of Christ Jesus will cleanse, purge, purify, sanctify your hearts, and Christ's Spirit will come into you, and the nature of God will come into you, and it will reveal to you what you should do and not do, and what you have to do to go on to be perfect, or go on to perfection, or perfect holiness in the fear of God, or to be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. He will tell you exactly what you've got to do to conform to that divine nature, and that you're partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus. And so then in going to these things, God makes it to where you can have these things and do these things. And it will bring you to that finished product, to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, and to the full reward of God. So then we see that the educational system is that of the cesspool of iniquity. So what you need to do, you need to withdraw by having your own learning institutions in the sense of godliness and a curriculum of God, and fight for your cause to keep people that are acting like maniacs, like your president, to try to close down these things, to force your children back into the slop holes of the world and back to the bunch of dope addicts and back to the houses of prostitution. Schools are houses of prostitution. When little children go to school, did you know there's not hardly a virtuous girl left? And they run around together. As I said the other day, statistics showing from about 11 to 18 or 21 that all of them's lost their virtue. And not only that, but if they took a survey of the married women, they'd find them to be the same way. See, and they say that AIDS that's broken out in Florida among people 50 and over 50 years old, that they're tracing it back and finding out that it's from their youth and the things that they did as to their wild living before they got this age. And still those things are coming upon them. Because the Bible said in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And if you don't follow after this blessing, all these things shall overtake you. And that is, ye shall be cursed in the field, ye shall be cursed in your body, ye shall have cursing vexations, ye shall have all kind of plagues and all kind of sickness, and I will pour out these plagues upon all the world, and your bodies will be just eat like worms, and you'll rot out in your belly and in your thighs, heart attacks and lung problems, cancer and all of these other things. He said, I will pour this out upon you, and I will curse the fruit of your womb, even your children will be born afflicted, and all these things will happen to you if you don't honor me And he said to Israel, when he brought 3 million people out of Egypt, he said, if you'll honor me and do the things I tell you to do, I will bring upon you none of these curses that I brought upon the Egyptians. So then he tells us to walk with God, and he says, now this is the blessing of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. He said, do what I tell you. I'll bless you, and blessed shall thou be in the field as to your products and your crops, and blessed shall be the fruit of your wound as to the children being healthy and well, and blessed shall ye be without the cursing vexation of mine as to the curse of madness, and blessed shall ye be when your nerves are not torn all to pieces, and blessed shall ye be in all capacities of life. I'll bless everything that you have. Otherwise you'll make much, bring it home, and I'll blow upon it, it'll come to little, and you won't have any comfort in your bed, and you won't ever be full from the things that you try to eat, for I will curse you. Solomon said, I've seen an evil under the sun wherein God has given everything to one man and not given the power to eat thereof. That is to say, his stomach is full of ulcers or something's wrong with him and he can't eat anything because he's in derision. Like I've heard it said, and I've repeated it many times to Mr. Ford when a little boy was talking to him one day in admiration and saying, you are a Mr. Ford, the man with all the money. And that he said unto him, he said, son, if I could eat one, just one can of sardines and a box of soda crackers without just going into fits as to my system, I'd give all my money. So then we see that it's not the right way to go contrary to God. And God's blessing makes us rich. It makes us wealthy. It brings us all of these things. For he has justified us, sanctified us, glorified us, predestinated, and perfected us forever. And he hath given us his spirit and given us his life and given us his righteousness. And he hath taken our sins and our troubles and our woes. And the Bible said, surely he hath borne our sorrows forever. And the chastisement of my peace was the beating on his back, so it wouldn't be upon my back. By whose stripes I'm healed. And so then today, being saved by the wonderful grace of God, that through faith of Jesus Christ, I humbly give him glory and honor and praise. And I magnify his name and I testify of him all over the world, everywhere I have a chance to tell of his glory, not to project myself or to tell of my intelligence or try to prove to somebody what I know, but to preach the word of God throughout the world without fear or favor to all mankind. And not just get up just to make people feel good, but just to get up to try to tell them the indoctrination of the word of God that casts the devils out of them. For he sent his word and cast out the devils. And I stand up just to preach the word of God to cast the devils out of them. That with the hearing of the word, it casts the devils out of them. And that he sent his word and healed them. And this word comes and they believe on the word and it heals them. And with this word, they believe on this word and it brings salvation. For this is the word that spoke the world into existence. And this is the word that said, let there be in the beginning. And this is the word that said, let there be a man and let there be a woman. And it came to pass. And this is the word that said, let there be the sun and the stars and the moon and the ocean and all these other things. And this is the word that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the word, and he's here today just for your believing in that he's already paid the price for your iniquities and the fall from the garden. And now he's placed you back within his presence and in the wonderful divine glory of Almighty God and given you the shield of the faith of Jesus Christ that you might be sanctified forever. So this is the word. And all you have to do is believe. He said, according to your faith, if you call on me, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal your lands. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so then here we are doing that. It was said to Paul, go down to the street called Straight, Paul, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And so Paul did. And in so doing, Paul was saved and Paul was filled with the Spirit. And then he said, it's not me living, but Christ that liveth within me. This life being made manifest in your mortal genes. So we can see that we don't want to follow the houses of learning. We want to pull away and be a separate people, to come out from among them, be a separate people, not to touch those unclean things. Whereas we say, well, what about the group at Bethlehem, Brother Pike? Haven't they come out from the world? Not altogether. Not altogether. It's like someone was saying the other day, I don't feel like they were altogether justified. I don't feel like that they were altogether truthful in what they said. But I know that partially they were truthful in it, because I happen to be present to know that some of these things that they spoke about actually is that way. But they made the statement after being with the group that works out there. As to the brethren, they said, well, these brethren don't talk about God on the job. Said they always talk about the things of the world and the natural things. They're always laughing, going on, joking, going foolishness and this kind of thing. And not only that, but sometimes saying things that are off color. So does the ladies do the same thing when they get together, where they're at. So then when you come to church, you say, why don't he pour on that revelation? Why don't he preach that gospel to us, the good things of giving? Why does he reprove? Why does he rebuke? We're here. We love him. We show him. We want him. Let him give us these great, mighty things. When you're not even ready for milk as to anything, you need to repent and get right with God and get yourself a new birth. And then come and you just then be ready for the milk. But as for the meat of the word, it's for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. The Bible said the thoughts of foolishness is sin. And the Bible teaches he that's in line for wisdom, he doesn't carry on foolishness. And he doesn't carry on jokes. And he doesn't say things off color for charity. Behaveth not itself unseemingly. And so then all of this out there, then you bring it into the church. And when you bring it into the church, then I come up here to preach. And I say, well, my God, why can't I get the word out there? And then I hear something say, like as the vision, the word goes. But God can't look on iniquity, and something hits it and it turns away, and there's something emanating from you that's worldly, that's carnal, that's natural, that's foolishness. That's your carnal mind, that's worldly desire, that's the love of the world. And the word of God goes out from the sacred dais, goes out from our crying to you, but it can't get any further along out here. And when it starts for you, it turns like that and it goes this way. And it can't get to you because of that which is emanating from you. But beloved friend, if you love the Lord, if you surrendered your spirit to God, if you went on with God and poured your heart out to God, give your spirit to God, when this word of God come out, it would just absorb it like dry ground or a sponge absorbing water. So then we can say that the problem is your understanding, your intellectual reasoning, your knowledge, your experience, your talents, this thing that you want to do. Somebody says, don't preach like that, Brother Pine, because I could say amen. I could say praise the Lord. We could be so happy. Just make the Spirit come. Make the Spirit come. Folks, let me tell you, the Spirit will come. All we got to do is praise God and clap our hands a little bit, and the Spirit will come, because the rain comes on the just and the unjust. And when you go away, you'll still be just as unjust. And if you are a tare, you'll still be a tare. That's right, because you grow by the rain and you grow by the sunshine just like the wheat does. See, but that don't mean you got salvation. That don't mean you escaped hell. For the Bible said that the tare or the briar that's nigh to rejection will be burned, and the wheat be gathered into the garners as to the harvest. So then, if I don't preach you the word, then I don't uproot the tare. If I don't preach you the word, I don't cast out the devils. If I don't preach you the word, you don't have the faith for salvation, and you're not translated into the kingdom of God, and you just feel a great exuberance, and you're ready to go. And this is what has been wrong with the world today and with the revivals that swept across the land. God gave that to them in the early church because they were nothing but babies and they didn't know anything about God. And he just poured out of his spirit. He said that he would do that in the last days. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. The wicked, the righteous, all flesh. And the Bible said all flesh has corrupted its way, but I'll still pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You know, you tell people that God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. They don't believe that. They say, well, it's upon the Christian. I know because I feel it that I'm a Christian. But how is it the Bible said you corrupted your way too? And how is it that the Spirit of God is poured out upon you? He said all flesh is corrupted its way. And there's none good, no, not one. Only God is good. And then if you don't have God's Spirit, then you're not good, because there's no goodness in you. But if you have God's Spirit, that's goodness in you. And that goodness must be manifest in your natural genes and in your mortal body, to do away with the filth of the flesh of that thing with poison under its tongue and deceit in its tongue, and the eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, that's beguiling unstable souls, promising them liberty when they themselves are the children of bondage. So then God pours out His Spirit, and He did that for the early church because He was wooing them and getting their attention. And then commanded them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring them the knowledge of God, to repel the knowledge of the world. You can't have darkness and light. You don't need two kinds of knowledge. You need one kind of knowledge. The Bible said, if this eye of your eye be single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is not single, that means that your body is full of darkness. Now, when He said eye single, it doesn't mean these natural eyes, but He's speaking of your eye of understanding, or your eyes of understanding being enlightened to comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length. So then, if your eyes of understanding on the inside, if it is not single, that is, it's just got one vision, just looking to God, just one God, one faith, one baptism, just one direction without any nays, but all yea and amen. He said your body will be full of light. The word of God will come in. You're just one way. But if that eye be a yea and a nay, if that eye be as to the things of the world, and the eyes of understanding are beholding the things of the world, He said, then are ye double-minded. If you're double-minded, you're double-eyed. And if you're double-minded, the eyes of understanding are not single. And your body is full of light because you can't mix darkness with light. So then that means that what you think is light is only an intellectual reflection, and that you are a creature of darkness. And the Bible said, that darkness in you, how great is that darkness? For if that darkness be in you, it hath blinded you even the eyes of your understanding as to the prince of this world, even Lucifer, that you cannot see good when good cometh. So when we see this, we know that we can't handle both of them. We only handle one of them. And people think you are a peculiar people. For He said, I will have a peculiar people, zealous of good works. They'll think you are a strange people because you not only come to church to hear the word, but you learn to be doers of the word. And you not only come to learn about God, but you come to learn to be like God. And the Bible said, add into your experience godliness and patience and faith and meekness and long-suffering and temperance. All of these kind of things, that you be not barren, that in your life there might be the fruits of the Spirit. So, in seeing this, we realize then that we don't need the world. We need God. We need the knowledge of God. We need to repent of our sins. But look how dense we are. Look how far off we are. Look how much preaching it takes, how much driving it takes, how much pressure it takes, how much of the preacher is just eat up, beat down, torn to pieces, under the guns, ridiculed, thinking that he's ignorant and all these other kind of things, when he tries to bring us the truth. Because the things of God are foolishness to the natural and the intellectual man, and he cannot receive them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself can be judged of no man, because we judge the world. So then when the man finally gets something over to you, and you stop and you're shocked and you say, well, my God, the thing does fit together. But look at where I've been. Like the songwriter said, look out yonder where I've been. And we think, well, my God, you know, this thing is shaping up. I'm beginning to think he's right, or they're right about this thing. It does go like that. That you can do that. It does make sense. But my, how I thought it was so foolish and so unwise. And so then we begin to come to the light. And as we begin to come to the light, then we know that we've got something. For the Bible said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you can tell it, because you'll have fellowship one with another. And these that love the Lord, when they come together to fellowship one with another, they are walking in the understanding or the mind of God, because there's one spirit, one mind, one body, one accord. See, but if you don't come together, if you're not driving together, if you're not plowing the same field for the same purpose, to sow the same seed and a uniting of membership and a uniting to the spirit of one mind and driving together, and you're just together with your plans and his plans and her plans, their plans and our plans, it means that you're scattered, you're divided, and you don't have God at all, and it doesn't show anything in God's behalf in your life that you are a divided body, and a divided house can't stand. But folks, you that unite together, that becomes brother to brother, and word upon word and precept upon precept, that all have the same ambition to love one another and to share one another's burdens, to look on the things of another, to esteem another better than yourself, and to look for that for the benefit of your brother rather than seek that as to a benefit of yourself, then you're doing something for God when you come to that place. When you consider the widow and the orphans, the Bible said then going after these things for the widows and the orphans, this is pure and undefiled religion in that you continue and keep yourself unspotted from the world. So then we can tell that God is with us. We can tell where we're going, where we've been, and where we're at. Knowledge, and it was said, and now this man put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life and live forever. That is, he'll die. He has become as one of us, for Satan says, ye shall not surely die. Did not God say that you could eat of all the trees of the garden? And Eve said, all but one. We cannot eat of the tree of knowledge. They could eat of the tree of life, but we cannot eat of the tree of knowledge. He said, for the day that we eat thereof, we shall surely die. He said, but ye shall not surely die. The father of a lie. Ye shall not surely die. But they surely did die. He lied about it. They surely did die. Somebody said, well, I don't read in the Bible where they died. Well, they did. The Bible said from the time that Adam ate, he was dead in trespasses and sin. He was dead when the presence of the Shekinah went away from him, and that God could not look upon iniquity, and the Shekinah illumination lifted. He was dead. He was the most beautiful tree in the garden, because he was illuminated with the very glory of God. And when he lifted himself up as to the intellectual knowledge that puffeth up, the Bible said, and wast thou not the most beautiful tree in the garden? And wasn't all of your pipes upright when I made you? Said, but you lifted yourself up above the other trees. And when you did that, he said, didn't you lose your beauty? And wasn't all of that taken away? And you wasn't the beautiful tree in the garden anymore. When you lifted yourself up, he said, for iniquity was found in you. And the day that iniquity was found in you, you were rejected. And so the Shekinah left, because God cannot fellowship iniquity. And the very thing that Adam emanated from as to the act of creation was taken away. But today, beloved friend, you have it as an indwelling thing through the new birth by the quickening spirit, Christ Jesus, who came to restore it to you as to beautify the meek with salvation. And so then in lifting himself up, because knowledge puffeth up, as soon as he got that of the tree of knowledge, then he began to reason, and God left him like that. And he was no longer the beautiful tree, and all of the blessings of God went away, and all of the illumination that come from Adam emanating from him, as the illumination that he had that made this garden so beautiful as to the light, went away, and he was in darkness. The intellectual darkness, gross darkness, covered the people. And we're just about at the end. Just about everybody now has gone to that side of life, being forced to go to it by the law, so that God could bring the end of the world, or that night might set in and the day star might be gone, and that the Antichrist might come. So gross darkness is covering the people. Everybody is in darkness. And at the midnight cry, it was said that they all were asleep. All were asleep at the midnight cry. And at the midnight cry, there was an unusual message came. And there was an unusual sound came. And there was something that was still awake and still vibrant and still something, still vivid. And something that could be seen by the eye of understanding. And there come a call, there come a scream. There come one on the wall as a watchman that cried out, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Arise, trim your lamps or your wicks. Go ye out to meet him. And with this, they awoke. They awoke. That meant that during the time of the crisis of this great darkness, when everybody's gone to sleep, just like it was Jesus when he was in the garden pleading with them, just to watch with him 1 hour and they would go to sleep. They have all gone to sleep. All of the religious people are going to sleep. That's why the Protestants is going into the Catholic Church. That's why the Jews is going into the Catholic Church. All of them are asleep. All the religious people are asleep. They all are asleep. Now they've decided they can have ball games and they can have bathing suits and frolics up and down the beaches and have parties and go out and do it. There's nothing barred anymore. There's nothing that they can't do anymore. And they've decided that God understands that all of these things are human characteristics and the traits of the human family, and that God has allowed for them. And now we can do whatever we want to. It is by grace and we shall be saved. Which, as somebody asked me the other day, he said, well, what do you think? I said something about shorts, wearing shorts. They said, well, what do you think about this? I believe that I can wear my shorts and still go to heaven. What do you think about that? I said, well, what I think about that is a reprobate mind. Now, it's a little shocking, isn't it? To believe a lie and to be damned. To believe a lie and to be damned because you don't love the truth when you hear it and you're determined to do your thing and play the flesh up, knowing that Satan the thing that be of the flesh, then that means God has sent you strong delusions and caused you to believe a lie to be damned. So you have strong delusions. When you think you can sit around and watch your television and your movies of those things of Hollywood and of those things that's non-virtuous and you think that that doesn't matter, you can go to heaven. And you can participate in the frolics of the world and the lust of the flesh and the lasciviousness of life. And you still believe and you still belong to the church. And you still support the church and you still go to church. And you believe that you are a Christian. You have a reprobate mind. To believe a lie and to be damned, and you're part of the vomit on the table. You are in a lukewarm condition. He spewed you out of his mouth. So then when this cry come, the five virgins that was wise rose up. They trimmed their lights. They had oil in their lamps. They could afford to light their lamps. The others that frolicked around was just mere believers. There was no infilling of the Holy Spirit, no oil, no Holy Ghost. It was just believing, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make your confession. Come up here and stand before me. Or join the church and this is it. And God understand and get you a good job and find a good place and be something in the community to add prestige to our church so that we can grow in the numerical fashion and we can be stronger and have more money and more social benefits. And so it shall be that we shall be the leaders in the community or the first church. Reprobates, a table filled with vomit and spewed out of the mouth of God. So then when the time come for the translation, they didn't have any oil. Gross darkness is covering the people. Everything is going out. Darkness is upon you. Your intellectual reasoning is darkness. You are blinded by the darkness that is within you as to your eyes of understanding being darkened by the powers of evil and the lust of your flesh. And the Bible said this is the condemnation that is come into the world, that in that God has given light, you love darkness rather than light or better than light because your deeds are evil or your deeds are to the lasciviousness of life and you've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. So then you love this way of the flesh more than that of the God that we are serving and preaching. You love it more than the God that we're telling you about and the ways of that God. And in that you are in this kind of condition, God hath rejected you because Satan savors the things that be of the flesh and you belong to the world. And that means that you are the beast. You are the beast's body because you belong to Satan and Satan has your body. And that is the beast's body because that's what Satan did in the beginning. He took the beast's body and he reproduced through the beast's body, pulled Adam down to that level and made Adam a beast and reproduced. And all of them in Adam die because they're mere beast. And scientists have proved their origin as to the beast. So not only have they proved their origin to the beast, but they go back beyond what we call civilization, back beyond the 7,000 years of the beginning of creation that will take us to the end of the millennium. And they go back into what they call the world of dinosaurs and all of these things where they're part snake and part animal and all these kind of things. And look way back beyond the times of the act of creation and say 6 billion years ago, the dinosaur failed to come anymore and he became extinct and all these things of the vertebra and all these things of the nebula mask of how it got started and these kind of things of the chlorophyll and coming on down all these things that they teach in history. Coming on down, the coal age and whatever. See, going back into that only proves one thing, and that is they're having strong delusions. They are in a world of strong delusions, thinking that there's life on other planets because of not loving the word of truth that tells us that Eve is the mother of all living, and God has turned them over to reprobate mind to believe a lie, having strong delusions, trying to get around God and around Christ because Satan wants to be the ruler of the world through his intellectual science, falsely so called. See, and going back into these things, as into the billions of years, which is fantasy and fanaticism. Then they get back into the demon realms of hallucinations and all of these things that seem to be back in the eternities that they can't put their finger on, and they don't know where it's at, and they don't know what to do with it. And they try their best to fit it all together to make it tell something that it will not tell. And they turn the truth of God into a lie. The Bible said they change the truth of God into a lie by trying to make it tell something that it doesn't tell. Even as Satan, when he quoted the word of God to Jesus, that trying to turn it into a lie to get Jesus to believe that if he jumped off of a cliff that it wouldn't hurt him, and him a natural man, so he could get him killed because he knew he was a natural man. So the only protection Jesus had was faith in the word, just like you. And to be our example, he held it to the end and became the victorian over flesh and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given me power over all flesh. So then let's say this little bit in trying to close here. And that is, the Bible says, and now man has become as one of us. Ye shall not surely die, Satan said. But in the day that thou eatest thereof, God knows that ye shall become as gods, and your eyes shall be opened. And I say again, they did become as gods, because Adam was supposed to be God. And so he had to go through the feminine perspective of it before God could bring the masculine, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, the second man, Adam, the quickening spirit. And so then in that perspective and getting into the woman, Adam became God as to the God of this world. And today his seed, through the intellectual educational system of the old beast, they ruled the world. And they said is God, showing himself that they're God and that Satan is in that temple. And God will destroy that kind of understanding and knowledge with the brightness of his coming as the day star dawns within your heart through this glory on the inside, from glory to glory, to transformate your mind, to transformate every thought of it, to project this great light through your mind and through instrumentality of your body to make manifest in your mortal genes this heavenly treasure to the shining of your very being as the sun shining within your strength. So then we can see that God said, now man has become as one of us, that is, he's become a God. Now he knows good and evil. Didn't need to know nothing. If it had never known anything, never tried to learn anything, never went to the tree of knowledge, it wouldn't have been required. Because where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. Where there's a knowledge of something, then it is required. And so as he went, and so as he continues, so he continues to sin and to transgress, and his days get shorter as he learns more. He gets shorter because he performs less, because he cannot perform righteousness without the Spirit of Christ. And without the Christ Spirit, there is no performance. Within me there is a will, but how to perform this good I cannot find. So we're not going to go into that tonight. But anyway, this is where we're at. And he said, man has come to know something. When you know something, that's knowledge of the something that you know. And so these schools and institutions is to know, to go to college to get knowledge or to know, or that is where they teach you knowledge, science falsely so called. So we need to pull away from these things, and we need to exercise ourselves in coming together, not as a little group here at Bethlehem, but there should be hundreds of thousands of people that could get a hold of this if we were to properly spread the seed of the understanding where people could have gotten it, instead of being ambitious in our preaching and as evangelists getting our little corner somewhere and doing our little thing and having a preeminence. But if we'd really got down to business and got away from those foolish things and went out into all the world trying to just go to every creature to get the gospel to them and convert their mind, thousands upon thousands of people would have been pulled out of that system out yonder and would have given their heart to God and would have strengthened this so much that your schools, your private schools, would have been big and powerful, and you'd had a lot of strength in them to teach them the curriculum of God and to set forth only that as to the academics that which glorified God. Even as I said, let's build an ark, and I gave you the understanding of how to build it and that instruction coming from God. Where did Noah go to college to learn to build an ark? Let's give the Lord a hand. I don't remember anybody building an ark like it before or since. Let's everybody stand together. Somebody says, but Brother Pine, how would you ever learn to fly in our big 747s? Well, a good question right there is, tell me how the angels fly around without any 747, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, don't you have enough sense to know that we're not angels? The Bible said they that dwell in heaven are equal to the angels and cannot die. They are made quickening spirits, and I make my angel spirits, and you are changed from a living soul to a quickening spirit, so that makes you an angelic being. So you can fly around all you want to. Somebody said, well, I think that's fanaticism. I understand you got strong delusion to believe a lie. But you that believe the word of God, you can believe what I'm telling you. Somebody said, you mean to tell me I can fly without a plane? Just wait till he appears in the heavens and you'll sail away like a bird. Let's give him a hand. You just haven't learned to use your wings yet. You will. Somebody said, but you mean, even at that, Brother Pike, we're just going to take one flight? No, you'll be flying from now. Can you give him another hand? Somebody say hallelujah. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Shut in with God in that secret place. There in His presence, beholding His face, gaining new courage to run in the race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Shut in with God in the secret place. There in His presence, beholding His face, gaining new courage to run in the race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Can you sing it more time? Are you shut in with God in that secret place? There in His presence, beholding. The altars are open. If you'd like to come to the altar, you may. While we take a few minutes to come to the altar tonight, search your heart. See if you're really shut in with God. If God's blessing you, if you're growing in the grace and knowledge, if you're hungering and thirsting after the things of God, or do you have any desire for the Word of God and the knowledge of God? If not, no problem. I'm just the preacher. If you don't have any hunger and thirst, that's all right. If the world belongs to you and you love the world and the things of the world and you want to follow the world, that's all right. No problem. As long as I get the gospel to you, every creature must hear the gospel. Then my job is done. But little flock, few there be that find it. You hear the words of the Lord. You believe on the words of the Lord. You grow in this grace and knowledge. And you come to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, going on unto perfection. Not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance of dead works and faith toward God. But going on to perfection, that you might be shut in with God in the secret place. Can you sing it again with me? Beholding His face, bearing His presence, receiving His grace. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Sing it one more time. I'm shut in with God in this secret place. There in His presence, beholding His face. gaining new courage to run in the race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Can we lift our hands up and close our eyes? While we're standing here tonight, our hands lifted, examine yourselves, search your hearts, see if you're in the Spirit. We don't need no gold and silver, and we don't need no diamond ring. All we need is more of Jesus. Oh, to me, He's everything. So you can have all your gold and silver, and you can have all the pretty things. All I want is more of Jesus. Oh, to me, He's my everything. So you can keep all your gold and silver, and you can keep all your diamond ring. I'll just take the love of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise His name. Sing it more time. So I don't need no gold and silver, and I don't need no pretty thing. All I need is more of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise His name. While you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, think these things over. Write me a letter when you get home. Tell me how wrong I am. Show me the Scripture. Pour out your fury. Tell me how wrong I am. Prove to me that I'm wrong about the institutions and I'm wrong about the preaching and that you want to set me straight. And in case you can't think of nothing, write me a letter and say, hallelujah, glory to God. I once was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Can you sing that little chorus? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound saved a wreck like me. Oh, I once was lost, and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. Then when the battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown in the new jewelry. Sing it one more time. We'll wear a crown. But ask Brother Richard the Jew to come and dismiss us. Bright and shine crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. One more time. Wear a crown. Will you wear a crown? Will you wear the bright crown? For when this battle is over, will you wear a crown in the new Jerusalem? One more time. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright crown.